WYBC New Haven.
This summer I was working in New Hampshire, and every time I would tell someone my name was Rafi, they would say, Robbie? And I sort of got to slowly be self-conscious about my name, so I started introducing myself as Bobby. There are a whole lot of people in New Hampshire who think of me as Bobby, and I sort of see Bobby as like my more, you know, authentically American self. And I, you know, I kind of like the name, actually.
What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other word would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes without that title. Romeo, doff thy name, and for thy name, which is no part of thee, take all myself.
I take thee at thy word. Call me but love, and I'll be new baptized. Henceforth, I never will be Romeo.
Welcome to the Radley Porch. I'm Rachel Haverford.
And I'm Monty Atkinson. So what is in a name? A name is how we define ourselves to the world. But what if we have a horrible name? In the first section, we talk about odd names.
In the second section, we talk about how people give names. And in the third section, we discuss how our names change, or don't, as we grow up.
And in the last section, we talk about how the same person may go by different names in different cultures, and what that means for his or her identity.
Oh, I had this one teacher who was married, and her last name was Abadi, and her first name was Meg. So my friend would always make fun of her behind her back by calling her Megabody, because that was her full name. But by the time I had
that kind
her,
of like a compliment, like Megabody, like you've got a Megabody.
I think the way he said it, it was definitely derogatory.
Like, and it's kind of disrespectful for like a kid to call.
But he would do that with actually all the teachers, would call them like by their first name. So it would be like, oh, your English teacher, Marie. And I'd be like, what? Like, I can't do this. And I still don't know the first names of a lot of my elementary school teachers. Like, they will always be Mrs. Pape. Like, she has no first name.
There was a teacher in my middle school whose last name was Trebesh. And she was married, but she kept her maiden name, so she went by Miss. So she went by Miss Trebesh. So everybody always thought she was Mr. Besh, and then she'd come in and be Miss Turbesh. It was very confusing.
I had an art teacher named Mrs. Butt. Oh. She's actually a substitute, and she came in and she's like, yes, I know, but I love my husband, so I did take his name.
that's not even her name.
She had a choice.
I know... both a Mr. Man, a Dr. Payne.
I know a Mrs. Man.
And a Mrs. Man. And a woman whose name is Bright, and she took her husband's last name. And so now she's Bright Wright. And
there's... my high school was given a lot of money by the Love family, and this one woman married one of the Love men, and her name is Gay. And so she's Mrs. Gay Love. And there's a patio at my very conservative Christian high school called the Gay Love Patio.
That must have been... because I know in middle school we had like a music teacher called Mr. Gaylord, and like that by itself like we couldn't really handle. So that's the Gay Love Patio.
Gay Love Patio. So we had all our school dances.
My mom knew a kid when she went to elementary school named Auto Mechanic. Like, I don't know why.
And wasn't it, like, first name, last name?
Yeah, last name Mechanic, first name Auto.
Like, O-T-T-O.
I forget if it was O-T-T-O or if it was just A-U-T-O.
My mom always tells this story that when she was in her residency, that somebody in the hospital told her, and that was that some woman in the maternity ward had a child, and she named it Diaria. She kept saying, I want to name my child Diaria, and then, but when she wrote it out, it was actually spelled diarrhea, and it was a name that she had seen written on the chart and thought it was pretty and wrote it down. And so they tried to convince her, no, it's diarrhea, and she's like, no, it's Diaria, and this is the name I want.
That's horrible.
I think the name Daria could work, but you just have to spell it differently.
Like, you know, D-E.
Yeah.
But have you guys ever heard that? It's like an urban legend, maybe, about Lamangelo and...
Orangelo.
Wait, what is it?
It's some
it's in Freakonomics, I think.
Oh, is it?
It's like how, like, people naming children.
But the children in this story are named Lamangelo and Orangelo. But if you spell them out, it's actually lemon jello. Orange jello. I don't know if they actually exist, though.
Oh, would you ever consider putting punctuation marks in your children's names? Like, dot, dot, dot.
So, like, lack of punctuation. My brother, my middle name is my mom's maiden name, and he has the same middle name. But then he also just, between his first name and the maiden name, he just has the letter L, with no period after it, and it doesn't stand for anything. Well,
it's like Truman.
It's like Truman? Truman just had a letter in his name? Mm-hmm. I never knew that. What letter was it?
S. Harry S. Truman didn't stand for anything.
Was there a period after it?
No.
So
the period's important.
My parents named him after, like, our great-grandfather Leon. I was always a little jealous that, like, why couldn't you give me a letter in my name? Like, it's not something you would think to want, but then, like, if your brother has it, why didn't I get one? So usually when people ask him, like, oh, why do you just have a letter in your name that doesn't have any punctuation or anything, he usually tells them the story, like, oh, it's for my great-grandfather Leon. Sometimes he just lies about it. It's like, oh, I'm part of a government project and there are 26 of us. I'm Agent L.
Wait, so why didn't they name him Ben Leon?
I don't really know
why
about
Ben
that
L?
So much. Maybe they thought, like, okay, he already has a middle name. We don't want to complicate things too much. I'm actually pretty unclear about that.
Was it a mistake? Accidental?
No, I think it was something they put a lot of thought into and, like, it was a very deliberate decision.
That reminds me of Robert S. McNamara.
Right, and his wife was, like, printing out the wedding invitations, and she was like, honey, I need to know your middle name. Like, you know, you never told me this, but I need to know it. So he put it on the wedding invitations.
And so he says, at first says, I can't tell it to you, or whatever.
And she's like, no, come on.
And then he went, well, it's strange.
She's like, I know it's strange, just tell it to me.
It's like, no, you don't understand, it's strange. Because it turns out it's actually strange.
Robert Strange McNamara. There's a lot of, like, celebrities, especially celebrity babies, who have the most bizarre names. Like,
I like Apple. Apple.
Whatever. Gwyneth Paltrow's
yeah.
child. Is it a girl or a boy?
Moses is her other. Apple and Moses. Which is weird because they both have biblical significance, except one is bad and one is good. I think it's interesting how a lot of names that used to be very prevalent no longer exist, and a lot of those names had similar kind of senses to them, like charity and chastity and
faith,
temperance, and like Gladys and Bertha. And my great aunts were Gladys, Bertha, Dorothy, and another one, Gertrude thing.
Gertie.
Not names that would be topping the list today.
There are always a million Catherines and Laurens and all those. Those were the big names for her.
I think Ashley and Jennifer. I ran into a lot of Ashleys and Jennifers.
Were you ever surprised to learn the meaning of your name?
I don't know.
So what are their celebrity baby names?
Pilot Inspector.
Is it with a K? Mm-hmm. Is that like?
Whose baby's name that?
Jason Lee.
Someone was telling me Michael Jackson named one of his kids Blanket.
Uh-huh.
Like, hey, Blanket.
Yep.
It's like Michael Jackson. It's like Michael, Michaela, Michael, then Blanket or something.
Maybe Blanket, like, represents how it covers everything.
I think he also puts blankets over their heads to keep them away from the press. Which is weird.
Isn't it like George Foreman named all his children George Foreman?
My grandfather kind of did that.
He named all his children George Foreman.
Exactly.
The name game. Shirley. Shirley, Shirley, Bo Burley, Bo Nana, Fana, Bo Furley, Fee, Fine, Mo Merrily. Shirley. Lincoln. Lincoln, Lincoln, Bo Bingham, Bo Nana, Fana, Bo Bingham, Fee, Fine, Mo Mingham. Lincoln.
You've been listening to The Radley Porch on Yale Radio 1340.
I say, now let's play a game. I bet you I could make a rhyme out of anybody's name. The first letter of the name, I treat it like it wasn't there. But a B or an F or an M will appear. And then I say Bo at a B. Then I say the name, then banana, fan, or an F. And then I say the name again with an F. Very plain, then a fee, fi, and a mo. Then I say the name again with an M this time, and there isn't any name that I can't rhyme.
So, Annie, you're saying that your grandfather had an interesting naming tradition?
His name is Ed, so he named his three sons, and Ed is either the first or last name of all of his sons, and then
wait,
first or middle name of all of his sons, and then the son whose first name is actually Ed wanted to name both of his sons Ed. That's the first name, and his wife objected to the second son having the same first name as the first
name.
So now it's his middle name too.
In my family, there's one, like, my grandmother's middle name was Louise, and then her oldest daughter's middle name was Louise, and then her daughter's name is Louise, her middle name, all of them. So it's not really obvious, but it's just like that little continuing thread. And actually, I know one of our family friends, they alternate generations between naming the women Margaret Ann and Ann Margaret.
Whoa.
So, like, I know them both as, like, Peggy and then Maggie, although actually Maggie is not the oldest daughter, so I guess they were banking on having another daughter, or, like, I don't really know, because I think it's a fairly old tradition in their family that the women get these names, so I don't know why they didn't name the oldest daughter with that combination.
There are definitely, in different cultures, different rules for how you name.
Yeah. I learned on St. Patrick's Day, doing Irish trivia, that in the Irish tradition, you are supposed to name your first son after after his father's father, your second son after his mother's father, and your third son after his father himself.
Interesting.
And I don't know about the fourth son.
Just stop.
No one has
them.
Yeah.
So I know, like, for my name, I was named after my paternal grandmother. But then on my mom's side of the family, I have a great aunt who's also named Rachel. And so when I was born, my great aunt wrote a letter to my parents saying, oh, thank you for naming your daughter Rachel after me. And my parents wrote back and they said, actually, she's not named after you, she's named after her other grandmother. But the reason that they gave, and this is always kind of important, is that, so my mom was raised Jewish, and in the Jewish tradition, you don't name a child after someone who's still alive. So it was kind of important for her not to have named me after my living great aunt. But because my father's mother is Christian, it was less of an issue. And also how my mom also, I think, so, but the main way that my mom justified herself was that my grandmother at that point was sick with Alzheimer's and was already kind of more or less in a coma. And so I think my mom justified it to herself that she was not truly alive at this point, so it was okay to name me after her, which is kind of strange. But so I think, like, and that's why my parents tell me that I didn't get the middle initial L, was that my great-grandfather Leon died while my mom was already pregnant with me, so it would have been disrespectful to, like, put that middle initial into my name because he had so recently died, which I think is, like, illogical things that my parents tell me. But, so and that's definitely part of a culture.
Yeah, in school I was taking a Chinese class in which I learned that in their culture they take so in one clan all the people of the same generation have to have the same first character in their given name, which I think is really interesting because it's supposed to represent a kind of bonding or maybe even signaling of who's in what family.
With the idea that like more than one family might have the same family name? Or just as even further bonding?
I think just further bonding and also kind of in a level of importance, right? Because you know everyone of the older generation mm-hmm. is more important than everyone the younger generation, and so that is signified more than just the last name.
I wonder how that would work if, like, you know, a man had a child relatively late in life, so he's already had children who are 20 years older or something, so is this child, the new young child, is that part of the older generation, or, yeah, I wonder how that would work, you know?
It would be part of the same
generation as his or her brothers or
right,
sisters.
Right, yeah.
Even though technically she's a lot, or she or he is a lot younger.
Yeah. It came up in the short story because it was a case that a son had an affair with his stepmother, and then the stepmother had a child, and so the child was given the same first name, first character of the first name as the son, even though it's supposed to have this separation. So that was supposed to be significant and kind of demoralizing for the son who had the affair.
My mom's name is misspelled on her birth certificate because my grandfather misspelled it. So her name's misspelled in life.
That's pretty harsh. She couldn't, like, change it?
It's Deborah, so it just has two R's instead. So it reads, like, Deborah. It's like Deborah.
So does she write on, like, her business card? It's like...
Well, she goes by Debbie, but yeah.
Her two R's.
Like Oprah.
That's a misspelling?
She was supposed to be Orpah from the Bible, but her father misspelled it on the birth certificate, or her mother or somebody. So now she's Oprah.
But I think it's interesting because, like, I have an older brother and sister, and my mom's, you know, we've, you know, always used to ask her how she came up with the names and how, like, what my dad liked, what my dad did, you know, mm-hmm. they agreed on. I don't know why we don't talk about it with my dad, but and it seems that, you know, my mom, she'll talk about, you know, naming my oldest sister, who's named Melissa, and how, you know, she was going between Lauren and Melissa, and she'll never once mention that she thought of Emily during then, because she didn't, I mean, it really crossed her mind so much.
Mm-hmm.
Never did that. And then with me, like, there wasn't any other name. She never talks about another name she was trying out. It was going to be Emily. Like, that was it. Or Steven, if I was a boy.
Is that weird to think that, like, if you're a boy, that, like, that would have
been
your name?
Yeah. Because I, like, associate, like, I think of, like, different Steven. I have a different image of it. I remember when I was, like, in elementary school thinking, like, if I was named Steven, oh my gosh, like, an association of, like, one Steven.
Yeah.
And that was just weird. And then I remember getting to middle school, there was, like, another Steven who was, like, more of a prominent person in my classes. And thinking, I was like, wait, if I was Steven, I'd be more like that now. It's like, that's better. Like,
did you have any influence over, like, what your younger siblings were named?
No, but I almost cried when my mom told me what my sister's name was going to be if she was a boy, because I thought it was so ugly.
Well,
it was supposed to be Samuel something. And I just thought it was the ugliest name ever, and I got so mad at my mom.
How old were you at the time?
7.
Oh.
Do you guys know what you would have been named if you'd been boys?
I think Andrew.
You guys picked out names for your unborn children.
I made lists when I was in junior high and high school.
What? Do you remember what that year was?
At one point I went to name my daughter Pigeon. Well, but that wouldn't be her real name. Her real name would be some other name, and then her nickname would be Pigeon. But now I think that's weird.
I guess I just have negative connotations.
Yeah.
Pigeon. Like pigeon toad, pigeon language,
or just,
disease carrying pigeons.
But I always used to write little novels or start them when I was younger, and I always spent a long time thinking about names. And I always thought Collier was the perfect name for. Collier McKinnon was always the name of my hero.
So did you ever name your son Collier?
Maybe. I kind of like middle names. It's first names. It's very sad.
What about you? Have you ever thought of names for unborn children?
I indeed have. But mine are... So I think this actually started out as a joke, almost mocking the fact that, like, not that it's expected, or maybe it's customary that girls, like, think about their future children's names, even though, like, A, they might not, like, they don't have a husband yet, so, like, the prospect of having children is not definite.
You don't need a husband.
That is true. But just, it's so far in the future that, like, it's odd to name things that don't exist. And so, but now they've become almost, like, real, because I've talked about them so much, but there's a long list, but it began with polyester pants. Polyester spelled like a full name, and pants spelled with a Z, and I guess I think it's ironic.
Did you ever consider doing two names, like polyester?
No, I think I want to showcase the oddity of it. But he or she could go, like, if it's a she could go by Polly or Esther. If it's he could go by Paul or Yester.
Yester. When did you come up with these names?
I want to say it was recent. It's in the last, like, year or two, maybe. No?
I would guess it was, like, freshman year of college.
Maybe. The list has grown, so it also includes pants. And I don't actually have to find a husband whose last name is Pants, with a Z. I
That's good.
How do you spell eh?
E-H. Okay. And aubergine pants. And someone wanted me to name the child Hot Pants with two T's.
Baba Ganoush pants?
Oh, right. Baba Ganoush. Legitimately, I think Baba Ganoush is a really cool name. Like, it just rolls off the tongue. And, like, despite it being a food item. Well, so is aubergine, right? So.
Do you remember how you came up with any of these names?
Not really. I think aubergine. It might have come from a girl who's British, and so. She always says aubergine instead of eggplant, and I was like, oh, I really like that name.
She probably would read it as a name.
Why would all of them have, they all have the same last name so that it wouldn't be complicated, or because you think pants goes so well with each name?
I don't actually think pants goes well with any of the names, but I think they need, like, some sort of bonding. Like, if they're not going to have the same last name as me, or my husband, then they need some sort of, like, camaraderie to join together.
So you would not consider changing your last name to Pants?
No, I particularly like my name, though. Like, Monty Atkinson. It's a good name.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. Roamed from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man that gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I'd just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a groove at an old saloon on a street of mud. There at a table, dealing stud, sat the dirty mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother'd had. And I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold. And I said, my name is Sue, how do you do? Now you gonna die!
You're listening to The Radley Push on WYBC 1340 AM.
Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a-gouging in the mud and the blood and the beer. I tell you, I fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile. He said, son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I know I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped to make you strong. Yeah. He said, now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in the eye, 'cause I'm the son of a bitch that named you Sue. Yeah, well, what could I do? What could I do? I got all choked up and I threw down my gun, called him a paw and he called me a son, and I come away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him Bill or George, any damn thing, but Sue, I still ain't that man.
My brother's best friend in elementary school, his name was Christopher, but he always went by Chip. But then in fifth grade, they actually transferred together, my brother and his best friend, to a different elementary school. Like, that was to finish up the last year of elementary school, and they would go to that same school for middle school. And so when he was there, he started going by Chris to everyone. And so everyone, and you know, like a lot of my friends also had little siblings the same age, so they always talk about Chris. And to me, it was just like a complete change. And I guess at around the same time, he also, like, him and my brother, kind of their friendship, they had a falling out, and like he became a very different person. And so I just associate this dichotomy of his name with like his sweet childhood personality versus like his change as he moved into puberty.
What was his newfound personality?
I think mostly it just had to do with like the way he interacted with my brother. Like, they'd always been so close and had so much fun and, you know, played over each other's houses. But then it was kind of one of those things, like, he would, like, be mean to my brother to, like, seem more cool in school. So that's my main memory of it.
There was a girl I knew in middle school where the same thing happened, except the opposite. So she joined our middle school in seventh grade, and her name was Lauren. And there were a million Laurens in the class, including my best friend. And so then this new Lauren stole all of my old best friends and was really mean to me, except she didn't steal my friend Lauren. And so I just remembered her as being like this really mean blonde girl who stole all my friends and didn't invite me to her bat mitzvah. And then we got to high school, she dyed her hair brown and changed her name to Mel because she said there were too many Laurens and Melissa was her middle name. And then she became nice and then we were friends.
It seems unclear if it's because she dyed her hair or if it's a name change.
Her name. But it's weird because I remember them separately in my head, like different people, like Lauren, blonde-haired Lauren and brown-haired Mel.
When I went to summer camp, I was in a bunk with another guy named Raphael.
Really?
Her last names. And for some reason, McGowrick is not a really good name, so I actually chose for myself the name Maverick. And for like 6 years of summer camp, I was Maverick. It was really one of the more exciting parts of my life.
But I think that's interesting that it's like you had a different identity at camp, right?
Yeah.
That so back at school, you were not named Maverick, right?
Right, and it actually, when I came to Yale, there were people who had gone to summer camp who remembered me as Maverick. And it was sort of this interesting slow process of them converting to calling me what everyone else called me, which was really kind of a process of like changing the way you sort of relate to someone. And do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
No, one of my friends, I knew her at the very beginning of high school. Her name's Laura Yost. And she went by Laura, and I called her Laura because I'm always awkward with names. Like, what do I call my friend's parents and all that? So I just called her by the name that I could trust, right? And she asked everyone else to call her LV, because that's her initials, Laura Vivian. Anyway, and so she goes by that now. That's, like, her name is LV. But I still call her Laura, and no one understands when I call her Laura in a group of people that don't even know her name's Laura. It's weird how names like that.
And she wants you to call her Laura?
No, I mean, she never complained. I mean, I knew her before everyone else started calling her LV, before she decided that's what she wanted to be called. So I think it's okay, but I think I'm the only person who calls her that now, besides possibly her parents. It's very strange.
When you went into first grade and you were faced with this other Emily, was that really odd to you? Were you like,
she had my name and that wasn't good, and that's why I was like, no. And the idea of being called Emily T, it just, I think I didn't like the harsh sound to it, like mm-hmm. T. And then being called, like, I didn't like it. So mm-hmm. I was like, I want something else. And I also, it was like, okay, well, why shouldn't she change her name or something? But
She called Emily, like, nothing
else? She was just called Emily in the end. Like, she could have, I think she started out as Emily L, but then she just went to Emily because I went to Emily Lynn.
Well, that's weird that, like, they're both Emily L, like, sort of.
Yeah, she could have. She was also very different than me. Like, I didn't want to have the same name as her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember in camp, when I was, like, younger, my best friend at camp was named Emily. Mm-hmm. And there, we both went by Emily. I loved it. Like, I was good friends with her. Like, I really liked having the same name as her. We actually went, you know, because they had different G between us, we went by Emily 1 and Emily 2 at times. Mm-hmm. And she actually happened to be Emily 1, and I was Emily 2. But I didn't care. I liked that. It didn't matter. Like, I liked being, like, having the same name as her. Like, we did everything together, and that was cool. And it was day camp, but... Yeah.
That's interesting.
And that was in the summer, so that probably was also around the same time that I was going by Emily Lynn during the year, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I was ever called I was never called Emily Lynn at camp, because I didn't want to be. I wanted to be connected to the other Emily. I also, I actually didn't think that, I've always gone around and been like, Emily, it's a baby name, actually. I think of it as a baby name, still. Like, baby Emily. It's just like, it ends in a Y. Yeah. So... I think when I was even in first grade, I thought Emily Lynn was more sophisticated, I think. Or, like, just at least when I was in elementary school and I was younger.
Yeah.
Maybe I did. I don't ever remember thinking as, like, Emily's more sophisticated, even though I could have. I don't remember it. But, because I've always said Emily's a baby name. However, I remember once going into a store, and this old woman was like, my name's Emily, and she must have been like 70 or something. She was working there, it seemed, maybe 60, but, and I was just like, and we were talking, and she said, I like seeing people named Emily, but she's like, I was always, didn't like my name because, it was always the old person name, and I was Emily as a kid and growing up, and it was always, like, the grandmothers, the great-grandmothers mm-hmm. that were named Emily. And I told her, no, it's, for me, it's always the babies that are called Emily. And it is true that, you know, a few years after I was born, or right around that time, Emily was, like, on the top list of names.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think that list is so funny. The names, like, I don't know, Barbara and, like, I think someone else mentioned, like, Gertrude.
And
like, it's such an, it's like, or Dorothy, which is very golden years. Have you ever seen that TV show? That's, like,
yeah,
all the names from that Even Maudie, I feel like, is a fairly old name.
Yeah. Like, we just associate them as old or young. Yet this old woman was telling me that it was an old person name, and I was like...
No, you're wrong.
So, my mom's name is also Deborah, and she went by Debbie for a while, but then eventually decided that, like... And there are still some people who call her Debbie, like, especially in her family and some of her colleagues, but she decided that she... That, like, she was too old to be called Debbie anymore. So, like, at what point do you, like, change your name to a more professional version?
I don't think I'll ever change mine.
I mean, I feel like there's almost no reason to, right? Like,
I don't like my given name. My sister, however, never goes by her given name anymore. Her name is Mary Lloyd. And when she was little, her little two-year-old boyfriend couldn't say it, so he said Mio. It's his version of Mary Lloyd, so she became Mio, kind of in our family circle. And then she decided when she went to junior high that that was a much cooler name than Mary Lloyd. So now she goes by Mio, and none of her friends know who Mary Lloyd is. When my mom calls asking for Mary Lloyd, like, who? Who's that?
So your mom doesn't go color me?
We alternately color both. They're interchangeable in my head. But it's weird to me that her friends don't know that her real name is.
Aware of her as Mary Lloyd?
Yeah.
To me, it's the same thing.
Also, it would be weird if she went to Spain or Italy, because Mio is like the masculine possessive pronoun.
When you guys were little, what did you call your friends' parents?
Mr. and Mrs.
Really?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Oh man,
absolutely.
I could not do that because it just, my parents would always ask kids, like, don't call me Mrs. blah 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 ever. Call me by my name.
I just worked very hard to never say
me too.
Either
exactly.
Yeah, that's
name
true.
Felt very awkward, and the last true, yeah. name felt awkward. So I just sort of planned around it.
And my mom, she goes by her her maiden name, and so I never knew if that was the case for everyone's moms, right? And I always felt awkward saying, like, Mrs., like, the man's last name. There's, like, yeah, something very weird about that, and so I could not do it. I had a lot of problems.
Yeah, it's funny is that, so I'm 25, and I'm grad student, obviously, and I'm an adult, and still certain of my friends' parents insist that I call them Mr.
Really?
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
We are not on first
that
name basis.
So strange, because now I am, but I just always call Chloe's mom, which I think has just become sort of an affectionate name. What?
Where are you from? Because I feel like it varies region to region.
I'm from Brooklyn Heights.
Oh, right.
Really?
It's definitely, so there's then, definitely an East Coast, West Coast divide at the very
I'm
least.
Sure,
because
yeah.
when I got to college, these sorts of conversations would come up, and my friends from LA would be like, you do what?
Yeah,
you call them what? I would never do that.
So West Coast, they're more on a first name basis?
Yeah, I think, well,
West
in my experience, yeah, for sure.
No,
okay.
For sure.
I don't know at what point you can start. I still feel weird. I avoid calling people by names when I don't know exactly what to do. I mean, I know what Emily Post would tell me to do, but I really don't know what.
What about professors? Do you know how professors sometimes tell you, I would imagine, especially for grad students, right? They're like, oh, just call me my first name. I can't do that sometimes.
So what happens? A professor signs email with their first name, right? Well, I always write my emails, hey, or hello, or just start with the concept.
I actually just
Same.
Write. I always write to a professor, dear professor.
I do too.
Regardless of what they respond.
Yeah. I always call professors professor.
I think it's good to start your correspondences with professors with dear.
Yeah.
They really like that. They don't like hi or hey that much.
Well, this is the third or fourth round.
Okay.
After. All right.
Yeah.
Trust me. I
not the initial.
Okay. Okay. No, professors. So in my limited experience in grad school have different personas for undergrads and grads. There's one professor in my department who we call by his first name, and he addresses himself to the undergraduates as Professor So-and-so, and he dresses differently. For our seminar, he'll come in, you know, a sweater, and not jeans, of course, but, you know, khakis or something like that, something a little casual. And for lecture, he always wears a blazer, a tie, a pressed collared shirt.
Oh, wow.
And pressed khakis.
I had one professor who actually refused to be called Professor So-and-so.
Awesome.
He's from Austria, and I guess in Austria, that's you you call everyone by their first name, or it's a less formal situation, and like class is more voluntary than mandatory. Yes. And grades are also an entirely different construct. And so it was just really bizarre. Like it was really difficult to. I had to like check myself all the time, and I thought that was really bizarre. Like I should be like, I wonder if by calling a professor so and so, like, does that prevent me from feeling like this is a person that I can communicate with, like not just on an academic level, but like just someone who could advise me? Like, would I be closer to my professors if I called them by their first name? Like, how does this affect my relationship? I don't know.
There's one professor from undergrad who insists that I call him by his first name, but I still refer to him as Mr. And I don't think, and my high school Latin teacher too, I still call her Ms. Even though she's married and has a different name now, I can't call her by her first name or her married name.
No, in high school, there is teachers, I think, in high school and middle school who are especially very concerned about the authority thing, right? They're very, very new to being teachers. Like, they're very concerned that no one mistake them for students, so they mm-hmm. have to be called Miss Thomas or Miss whatever. But I had a whole bunch of teachers in high school who only went by first names. And I don't know. I thought that was normal. But it's weird that half of my teachers called them one thing and half the other.
I remember I had a lot of teachers I was close to in high school, but I don't know. I just can't imagine in New York City public school calling a teacher by their first name.
I cannot imagine calling any of the teachers by their first
name. When I graduated high school, there were a bunch of teachers at the graduation who were like, yeah, now you can call me by my first name. And it was interesting because, like, I keep up a correspondence with some of them, and it really did feel like you graduated high school, now we're, like, on the same level. Or so. I don't know exactly what it is, but it was a real substantive change.
For me, it's different. It's that I continue to call all of these teachers like Mr. or Ms. so-and-so, and like there has been no change.
So I feel awkward doing that, but then whenever I worked in an environment of people who were the same age as my parents and my parents' friends, I always called them by their first names and didn't feel awkward about it.
It's kind of like part of growing up, right? Because... So I feel like in college it's the awkward transition where sometimes professors ask you to call them by their first names, or... I think at this point for me there's still a tendency to call them Professor so-and-so, but it's starting to be, you know, when you interact with someone in a professional setting like that, you feel like they're your equal. Like, when I work at the cafe, I call everyone by their first name, even though some people are much older than me.
Do you think that's also because they're your coworker?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. As you, like, grow up and interact kind of, like, as peers with mm-hmm. people who are much older than you, or, like, you know, because, like, you know, like, the term coworker implies that you
are equal.
It's also going to be weird now that we're graduating, and most of my friends are going to work as teachers, and they're going
right.
to become
all of a sudden our friends
Mr. Are, and Mrs. Know. Whatever, or Mr. and Miss, because none of them are married, but, and that's going to be very weird.
Say my name, no one is around you. Say, baby, I love you. You ain't running game. Say my name.
You've been listening to The Radley Porch. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions for future shows, you can contact us at theradleyporch@gmail.com. That was theradleyporch@gmail.com.
Say my name. You acting kind of shady.
Yeah, in Chinese, too, that there are very specific things you're supposed to call people depending on, like, if you're on the paternal side. Like, the maternal grandmother has a different name than a paternal grandmother. And,
It's the same in Japanese.
Yeah. So I guess, I think it's interesting in the United States that we, like, or in English, that it's all one. Or is that, it's probably true in most Latin languages, right, as well. He's like abuela and abuela, yeah. So it's all
I think it's really, what's really funny to me though is that like Indian culture has become such that, like, because you have all these like really specific names, like, it's just so funny that like the only people that you refer to as aunt and uncle are the people you're not actually related to.
That's what you do in Chinese too, that you say like the most generic form of aunt and uncle is like what you refer to anyone who's of an older age than you, like, of your parents' age. Which is also tricky, too. Like, who do you call, like, who do you say aunt and uncle? Because then you have this whole, like, you're calling someone old.
I mean, it's weird, because it's weird to me that my cousin's kids call me aunt. And it makes me feel really old.
Yeah.
My Orthodox relatives have a much better developed vocabulary through English and Yiddish for far relations. Like, they don't have to go through all the nonsense with, like, second removed and, you know, well, you know what I'm saying? First cousin. Mm-hmm. They have much, like, much more specific words for everything. And the reason is that the family structure, the far family structure is a lot closer, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You're pretty close to even your distant relatives. Whereas for us, we don't really, because the words aren't in use that much, you know, they're sort of tricky and they, you know, I mean, I don't even know their rules yet.
I met a guy from, or I met like a cab driver from Somalia last weekend, and he was telling me, like,
I remember we were talking about pretty something with his family, and I asked him if his family was in Sinjo, which is where I was, and his response was that, like, I don't know what you mean by family, because, like, everyone here means something very different from it than I do. And I guess it's the same with, like, my family, like, my extended family.
I think my name is actually a really, really common name, but it's misspelled. Like, the way that my name is spelled is not. It's just incorrect. So it's just a little bit different than that.
Is it pronounced differently in Hindi?
My last, like, I think my last name, I think, just like I've, like, introduced myself, like, my last name is pronounced, but it's actually pronounced differently. My first name is pronounced the same, though.
Okay. Because I wonder if it's pronounced differently, if you feel like you have a different character in, like, in the two languages at all, but I don't know.
I think it would probably be different if it were my first name, because
your parents don't call you by your last name all the time.
When I was in Spain studying abroad last year, my American roommate's name was Whitney, but our Spanish house mother could not say it for the life of her. It kept coming out like Bonnie or all these weird, like, she could not say it at all. She just didn't understand the sounds, and so she told her to come up with a name, and she called her that, so she became Tina for the whole rest of the semester. Like, just in Spain with our house mother, but those of us in the group would call her Tina just to make fun of her. Be like, oh, Tina, Tina. And then she gets this, she has to sign up for her housing back at her school at Bates. And she goes online, and her name at her university has been changed to Tina. Somehow, and she didn't know how it happened. But, like, her official name on her housing form had become Tina somehow, because she changed it in Spain.
That's so funny.
My friend Brent in Spain, his name also got changed because his house mother couldn't say it, and he didn't realize that for the first few weeks, because she'd be like, oh, come to dinner, bae. And he thought it was just like an affectionate term or like some Spanish word he didn't understand, until finally he realized she was trying to say his name. His name is Brent, B-R-I-N-T, and she said, bae. So then he became Benito for the rest of the year.
When you were studying in Mongolia, what name did you go by?
I had a different name. And it's interesting because so my Mongolian name was Bolero.
Bolero?
Yeah, I think you said it well. I'm not good at saying it either anymore. Say again what you said.
Bolero? I can't say
it. Yeah. That's more like it, but some people would just say it, and I didn't like it at all. Like, Bolero is how, anyway, it sounds a lot better when Mongolian say it. It means crystal.
Did you get
a
to pick it?
A lot of people would describe it as, like, granite. No, we didn't, actually. It's interesting. We had, we'd only been in class, like, a couple days at this point. I think our language teachers had known us, like, you know, a few days. Maybe almost a week at that point. No, less than that. A couple days. Mm-hmm. And I'd asked the language teacher that had ended up handing out the names, because they were all on sheets of paper. I'd asked her if she had just randomly handed out the names because she didn't know us that well, or if she'd actually chosen. It was the language teacher I was closest with, and this was after, like, a few weeks after, maybe a month or two. And she had said, well, obviously I didn't know you that well then, but she's like, I looked at the names and handed them to specific people, and certain names really fit certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did. I hated my name the first few weeks in Mongolia, especially when the kids were trying to use it and we were going around like doing exercises with like, what's your name? My name's this. Everyone was just saying bowl because it was spelled like, I mean, Cyrillic alphabet, but the way it was spelled in like, you know, Roman letters was B O L O R O O, like Bolaroo, I would say. And like, just the way that the other American kids and wherever they were from were saying, it was awful. It sounded very harsh and like bullet roll, and I don't know. But then I went to my first country, and I didn't even like it. Like, even the language teacher would say it, or even like people in the city, because I would try not to tell people it because I didn't know what they called it. But then we went to our first homestay in the countryside, and they have a lot of trouble saying like Emily. And my family, even though I think I even at that point I knew very little Mongolian, but I think I said, like, I might have said like Waterola as like meaning air or ma, like I basically was saying that like I didn't like it and so much, and but they didn't really care, and they started calling it to me anyway, and eventually I think I told them, I was like, I like when you call me my Mongolian name, but not the American kids. And so yeah, so after that I really liked my name once I would like when the Mongolians would say it. Yeah. I remember my father saying it, like, and he was like, I remember thinking, like, I have, like, an image of him, like, standing by these cows and, like, calling me over, and, like, I was like, yeah, I like that name. That's a good name. Works. And it was, like, the first time I was, like, accepting my name.
That's, yeah.
It had been, like, a few weeks. And then I got more used to it, and I liked people using it.
Did you find that you acted differently when you went by the different name?
I want to say yes, but I wouldn't know how to explain it and what it was. Like, that was different.
I asked because my freshman year, I took this anthropology class, and it, like, blew my mind at one point in time, because one of the things is that, like language influences your thoughts and you, essentially, yeah. And so that was one of the ideas, and so one of the things is that, like, if you go by a different name, that could possibly change, like, who you are,
yeah.
And I was very resistant to that idea, because I was like, no, like, I'm me, like, what are you doing? Changing my name doesn't change me. But this girl in one of my sessions was like, yeah, when I went to study abroad in Spain or something, she had a really hard time. And so what the teacher did was like, well, you know, I think you really should just use your Spanish name and, like, make that your identity. Like, keep using that. And she said, like, afterwards she did it a lot better. And, like, it was like she had this, like, whole new personality, and like she was a lot more like courageous and like trying the new words and like trying to speak the language and like really getting into it. And it was all because she like put on this different name. I don't remember what it was. And like I remember looking back on it when I was like a junior, and I was like, I guess a new name might actually change me. Because like my parents called me a different name, and so my like Vietnamese identity. Like, in Vietnamese, I go by a different name than my English name. And it's like, I guess I do act differently, because when, like, using my Vietnamese identity, I'm a lot more quiet, and, like I practically never say anything. And so it's like, I'm a lot more assertive and a lot more confident when I use my English name. And so it's just, like, really interesting. I've been wondering if people have the same experience, or if, like, I'm trying to find evidence to support.
I think for me, when I speak in Chinese, I feel really young. Maybe because when I always spoke in Chinese, it was always to people older than me, and so it's always been like I take on the personality of like a 10-year-old or a 5-year-old. That being weird. So yeah, I can't tell if it's purely, like, how much of it is the name or how much of it is the language, because they're so tightly wound.
And I'm also thinking about, like, my identity in Mongolia. Like, I went there, nobody knew me, and so you take, like, just the way you form and, like, develop relationships is different than what you have back at home, so that kind of also causes a lot of changes, and
Yeah. I think there's just, like, cultural influences, too.
Well, there was also, like, there's the whole idea of, like, I think the way people, like, so when Mongolians were calling me Bolero, or when anyone even, I guess, was calling me Bolero, I think, like, they react in a different way than having to, like, call me Emily.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, and I think my family, like, the whole idea of, like, them not really caring and just kind of calling me Emily, like, Bolero, I think I kind of tried to say, like, Emily, like, I prefer that over Bolero, because at that point, when I first got there, I didn't like it. And the fact that my father was still going to call me Bolero, I think there was just a way that they felt better, not only just because it was easier to pronounce, but, like, I was being accepted into their family, and there's something about, like, using, you know, a Mongolian name with a Mongolian family, and when they talk to me using that name, they have perceptions, and then I see myself in that way. Do you know how, like, have you ever learned about, like, the looking glass self or something like that? It's like, I can't remember who it was, but that whole idea where it's like you see yourself the way others see you, or like the way people will talk to you in a certain way, and then mm-hmm. you're gonna react
yeah.
in that way. Like, you're basically, your identity is established based on who you're talking, your relationships and who you're talking to,
mm-hmm.
largely. Not
yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, so just, I think when they were interacting with me and knowing me as Bolero rather than Emily, gave me a different feeling as well. Just
right.
the way they were reacting towards me.
Right, because then you're not Emily the foreigner, you're Bolero the, like, person who...
Child.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I became their child.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, now Constantinople. Been a long time gone, Constantinople, now it's Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, now Constantinople. So if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just liked it better that way. So take me back to Constantinople, no you can't.
This week's literature selection comes from John Steinbeck's novel East of Eden. The character of Adam is depressed, and so his friend Sam has come in an effort to cheer him up and try and convince him to name his twin sons, who have reached 1 year and 3 months without being given names.
Names are a great mystery. I've never known whether the name is molded by the child or the child changed to fit the name. But you can be sure of this. Whenever a man has a nickname, it is a proof that the name given him was wrong.
As they discuss names further, Sam asks Adam,
"Have you thought of your own name?" "Mine?" "Of course, your firstborn, Cain and Abel." Adam said, "Oh no, we can't do that." "I know we can't. That would be tempting whatever fate there is. But isn't it odd that Cain is maybe the best known name in the whole world, and as far as I know, only one man has ever borne it?" Lee said, "Maybe that's why the name has never changed its emphasis."
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of The Radley Porch. You can get the free podcast of this episode, or any past episode, by going to the iTunes store and searching for The Radley Porch.
Please join us next episode when we talk about plans and when they go awry.